I really do feel at home here. In fact, I think I've actually spoke more at Appleton Alliance than the other Alliance Church in America. And so I do really feel at home, and I would like to really start once again by saying thank you, because I can truly say that I could not do the ministry that God has called us to without Appleton Alliance Church. And as many of you know, I made a little bit of a transition. We found a square mile, it's the most diverse square mile in the entire world, just north of Atlanta. There are 58 apartment complexes that house 14,000 refugees from literally all over the world. So far, we have found 90 unreached people groups in one square mile. And in fact, the high school that's there, nobody comes from more than a mile away, and they speak 160 different dialects. So we walk in here, and we find these refugees who have lost literally everything and have seen family members beaten, and they won the lottery and went through the year of vetting, and they land in America looking for hope. Is that not where the church should be? And so we're finding an openness to the gospel like we've never seen. And it's just exciting, and I'm going to share a little bit more of what God is doing. We opened our site June 15, and we've already seen a tremendous move of God. And so I want to thank you. I also want to say that, of course, we have interns, and we got our first intern from a place called Appleton Alliance Church. Skylar Shunke is part of our team. And if you could see her, because here's the thing, if you park in the parking lot and try to walk to where we're the apartment we're using for ministry, you cannot do it without meeting children from five nations. And all they want to do is hold your hand. I mean, they're just looking for love. And they all know Skylar, and she pours her life into these children from all these nations. And a lot of them are from nations that for 300 years, they're what we call unengaged. For 300 years, we have tried to send missionaries to reach these people groups, and for 300 years, we've been unsuccessful. Unengaged means that in the history of the world, to our records, there has never been a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's almost as though God said, "You're right, it is hard. Let me just bring them to you." And they land in Atlanta. And so we're excited with what God's doing. And I'm going to share a little bit more about that. But I want to, first of all, I need to confess something. I have an issue. And my issue is I'm very competitive. And I create competitiveness where it doesn't even exist. So, like, I grew up in the jungle of Gabon. And we had these red army ants, and I don't know if you ever heard about them. They got pinchers. You can literally put one on you, and if they bite you, and you'll start bleeding. I mean, like, it's, and they just go in and devour. They've been known to devour large animals. In fact, I had a pet owl, and I had it in a cage to keep it safe, and I went out one morning, and all that was left was bone and feathers, because the ants had gone through. But the way they do it is they make these lines, and they have the soldiers on the outside with the big pinchers, and then they had the worker ants running through the track. And so we would each choose a driver ant and have a race. I mean, I used ants to race, you know, so I'm competitive. But the other way I'm competitive, my name is Peter, right? Or my mother calls me that, nobody else does. But everybody always is talking about how great the Apostle Paul was. And I always thought Peter was the best. And so I used to like listen to messages, and when I was real small, I remember saying, "I'm not even going to listen to this. This is what the Apostle Paul said. All I care is what Peter said." And so the passage I'd like to look at today actually talks quite a bit about this, and it's found in the book of Matthew, because it's one of the places where Peter shines, and I don't see Paul nowhere in this passage. So if you have your Bibles, it's Matthew chapter 16, and starting with verse 15. And he says, Jesus is with his disciples, and he's asking them who they think he is. And he says, but what about you? Who do you think I am? And Simon Peter says, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Amen?
Amen.
See, there's power. There's power when Jesus is lifted up as God. There's power in the name of Jesus. And I've seen armed thugs with guns and everything tremble at the name of Jesus. And I've seen evil. I've seen people healed. That there's power in the name of Jesus. Amen? And so Peter declares, you are the Messiah. You are the Son of the living God. And everything changed at that point. And Jesus looks at him, and he gives them three different gifts. And he goes on and he says, Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for it's not heaven that has revealed this to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Amen? That's why I'm competitive. We're going to win. The gates of Hades, all the evil in the world, cannot withstand the church of Jesus Christ. And it's a growing church. I will build. It's action. It's growing. And we get to be a part of it. So when Jesus is declared as God, he responds with three gifts. And the first is, I will build my church. And we are seeing it in Clarkston, Georgia. We've been there since June 15. 6 months. We have five house churches. In fact, we talk about the name of Jesus. We were given a little part to build a ministry center, and so we were kind of having prayer over it, and in walked Muhammad. And Muhammad is a Syrian refugee. And Muhammad said, I heard you might teach English here, and my wife needs to learn English. And we said we are, but right now we're just praying. And so at one point during the service, we had everybody raise their hands and prayed over our center in the name of Jesus. And we developed a relationship with Muhammad, and as time went on, he had at least twice, he had huge challenges that would take miracles. And so he came and he was sharing with us, and we said, can we pray for you? And so we prayed for him in the name of Jesus. And he was blown away, because he came back and he said, you can pray for me in the name of Jesus anytime you want, because every time you pray in his name, God does something. Last Tuesday, Muhammad declared that Jesus was God. He's our person of peace, and he's the beginning of one of our house churches that we hope will lead hundreds, if not thousands, of Syrians and other Arab refugees to the Lord Jesus Christ, because I will build my church and the gates of hell will not stand against it. We're seeing unbelievable favor. Our ministry center, we are given 4,200 square feet for $1 a month by two Muslim men. so that we could share the gospel. Because I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not stand against it. I was talking to another apartment complex, and I said, told what we'd like to do, and she goes, sounds like you need a 3-bedroom townhouse. Maybe we'll just give you one. Because I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not stand against it. I started having a heart for the Somali, one of the biggest, most unreached people groups in the world, and we did research, and we found out the best way to get into that community is to deliver camel's milk. So I'm starting a camel dairy. So if you want to come down and milk a camel, come on down. We can't expect to do the same thing the same way everybody else does and have different results, right? So if I find out a need, I'm going after it. And so we are looking, and so I went to the county. I don't have any land. I don't have any money. I went to the county. I said, hey, do you have like a flood zone? You'd let me put a fence around and I could raise some camels in it? So that's not a question I get asked very often. But he says, I'll do one better. He says, I have a barn and a corral. That way you don't have to pay for a fence. I said, well, while I'm on a roll here, I realize I need to contextualize this. I need to make it sustainable. I'd like to also have goats. And he goes, well, whatever you do, don't buy any. I said, it's kind of hard to milk goats if you don't buy them to have. He goes, no, I'll give you 30 goats a year. I go, where are you getting goats? He says, the county confiscates 30 goats a year that people are raising in their apartments. I told you, Clarkistan is a different country. He says, when we confiscate them by law, we can't benefit from it. We have to just put them down, and it's a big waste. He said, I'd love to give them to you, and you can milk them. And he said, in fact, I'll hire them back from you, and you can use them to clear land. Why? Because I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not stand against it. And I'm going to go for it. The confidence that we can have when the God of the universe says that he's going to build his church through us. How could I not? Right? God gives us this gift. We can't play with it. And then he goes on. And he says, and I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Who's he giving the keys to? Us, right? Is that what it says? I will give the keys to the kingdom. Well, what does that mean? It means that we're the ones that need to open the doors by witnessing to allow people into the kingdom of heaven. He's paid the price. He sent his Holy Spirit, but ultimately we need to be the ones to open the door. Think about the responsibility that comes with this gift. He didn't choose angels to open the key. He didn't give the keys to the angels. He didn't even give it to the Holy Spirit. He expects the Holy Spirit to walk through us, but he gave us the keys. So what are you doing with them? What are you doing with the keys to the kingdom? I have this board at home that I hang keys on. About 90% of them, I don't know what they're for. How many of us have hung the keys of the kingdom. Because we want to build our own kingdom. Building keys might mean that you go back after the service and see Mark and sign up for a missions trip so that you can go around the world or to people from around the world like Atlanta. It might mean that you become intentional about reaching your neighbor or your family member or your coworker. And if that's really too scary for you, every Tuesday night, you have hundreds of unbelieving children that come to this building. Right? Called Awana. Maybe you participate with them. But God has given you the keys. All of us have a personal key to heaven, and we've hung it on the rack rather than using it. So he's going to build his church, but he's going to build it through you. And he's created doors so we can get to heaven, but he's given you the key. You know, it's interesting. I met a lady, and I'm not going to tell her name. She's Somali. She lives there in Clarkston. She had 8 kids, got pregnant with twins. God met her in a dream. Jesus met her in a dream and said, go find somebody that knows me because I'm the way, the truth, and the life. So she left and walked 21 days through the desert to the country of Ethiopia where she knew there was the church of Jesus Christ. And she found a church and accepted Jesus. She got news back to her family. Her family joined her husband and their 8 kids, and all of them accepted Christ, and they started a little garden, and they decided to live in Ethiopia because it wasn't safe to be a Christian back in the country they came from. And one day they got news that his father had died, and as a son, it was cultural that he needed to go back. And they knew it was dangerous, but they knew it was the right thing to do, and so they went back to Somalia. And when they got there, they were waiting for them. They ambushed them and killed the entire family. And this lady woke up in the morgue. Fortunately, that day, the coroner was not the normal coroner. And the coroner was an Ethiopian and was a Christian. And when he found her body, or she was alive, he snuck her out and put her on a helicopter, and they flew her to Kenya, where she was nursed back to health and then sent to Clarkston, Georgia. Here's the thing. If you talk to her, she has no regrets. And this is what she says. I lost my family for 40 years, but I get them forever. But when Jesus met her in a dream, he didn't tell her how to pray and how to ask him into her heart. He didn't walk down the Roman road with her. He sent them her to someone that had the keys to the kingdom. And if you know anything, across the world today, Jesus is meeting people in dreams, and people are showing up at missionaries' homes saying, Jesus told me to come talk to you. But Jesus always sends them to a believer. Amen? So you have the keys. He may not have known you have the keys, but you're the one that can open the door for the people around you. The third gift, he goes on and he says, what you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and what you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Amen? He's talking about the authority we have in prayer. that when we take authority and we pray, it's not empty words here on earth. It's heavenly words that go across the world. There's power in prayer. And power will change things. I have a friend named Ricardo, and he takes this very, very seriously. And especially since I've moved to Clarkston, he often will fast and pray, or he spends time, and I don't even give him requests. He prays before then, and then often he responds. And I'll never forget, somebody gave me a box truck, 1981 diesel Chevy box truck. So here's the problem. It's in the mountains of Virginia, right? Mountains. Now, it was raining. It was dark. It was slippery. And the mountain was too steep. You couldn't ride the brake. And you have to use gears. But here's the thing. This is first. This is second. This is third. This is fourth. And this is fifth. Right? And it didn't have like the little springs in the seat. So you're bouncing like crazy. You're steering all the time. And if you miss a gear, it's goodnight, Irene. Right? And so, I mean, I won't lie to you. I was scared. So I'm going down this hill, praying like crazy. My phone rings. Now, the Bluetooth didn't work on my 81 box truck. So I didn't answer. But it was sitting right there, and I could see, and a text came through, and it was Ricardo. And Ricardo said, "I don't know, but I'm overwhelmed with the need to pray for you today." Amen? Because what he bound on earth was bound in heaven. And what he loosed on earth was loosed in heaven. And I made the trip safely. Another time, I got asked to speak at a Fellowship of Christian Athletes dinner. Oh, sure, no problem. Often, I think I'm learning now, it's better to ask the details. So here's what it was. It was what they called a unity banquet. Now, here's what it was. There are two high schools that had a rivalry that was so intense that a student was killed. And so they were not allowed to play each other, but it became complicated because they're in the same county in the same conference. And so eventually, they decided to let them play. And before they do this, they did this unity banquet. This is what the unity banquet was. They brought in people from both teams and divided every table in half, and half was from one team and half was from the other. They brought in all the cheerleaders, they brought in the school administrators, and they brought in a school board, which is kind of a big deal because there's like a million people in that county. And then asked me to speak. So these people sit at the table glaring at each other. And I remember thinking, there's Hindus, Buddhists, Muslims, non-religious, I mean, everything you can think of. And then Pete. When in doubt, preach the gospel. Amen? So I preach the gospel. And I preach it hard. But on the way there, my phone rings. Guess who it is? Ricardo. I did have Bluetooth. And he prayed with me and prayed for me. At the end of the conference, we gave an altar call. And 21 football players came to Christ. Fifty made rededications. Not because I preach, but because Ricardo prayed. Amen? When we declare Jesus is the Son of God, we're given those three gifts. He will build his church, but he will build it through you. He's given us the keys, but we need to use them. And he's given us power and authority through prayer. But we need to pray. See, there in Clarkston, the stories I hear are hard to believe that men can be that vicious. In fact, a lot of them come from some refugee camps, and the UN secret stats tell us that some of those refugee camps, the rape percentage among women there is between 80 and 90%. In fact, many of the children that are there may not, their fathers may not be their biological fathers, and they may be the product of rape. I talked to one man, and he hid in the bushes while they laid his family out on the pavement and took a knife and cut their throats. And they come to America, broken and looking for hope. We went into apartments, and they felt like they didn't have the right to complain. And there were rooms that were literally full of sewer because it was backed up, and they didn't want to get in trouble, so they didn't tell anybody. And they just lived in this horrible situation. We found apartment complexes where there was no running water or electricity. People literally went to get water like they did in Africa. And you know what their need is? The felt need? What they're looking for is friendship with an American. And statistically, 90% of them will never step foot in an American's home. Where's the church? I mean, God saw these people and saw for 300 years of the modern missions movement, we have not been able to get missionaries there. And so he says, you're right, they're hard. He brings them to us. And what are we doing with our keys? I had a child trauma specialist that's joining our team. Child trauma. Come in and observe these precious children. I just want to hold your hand. And during the summer, it's hard to even stand outside for 5 minutes without having over 30 of them show up from all over the world. She could not find one child that did not show some symptoms of trauma. Will you use your keys? For some of you, it means seeing Mark in the back and coming on a short-term trip. You have no excuses for Atlanta. We don't require passports. You don't even have to get shots. You can drive. You can ride your bike if you can ride that far. We're handicapped accessible. You can come in a wheelchair. But God's placed you in your community here. God's placed you in a church that has all kinds of ministries, but is short on staff. Will you build his church? Will you use your keys? But more than anything, will you pray? Let's pray. God, we declare you We could declare you Jesus as the Messiah, the Son of the living God. You're the Savior of the world. And God, you've given us three great gifts, but there we know it's also comes with a great responsibility. And so, God, we are in need of your Holy Spirit to show us how we are to build your church. And we are in need of your Holy Spirit to show us how to use our keys to the kingdom. And Lord, we are even in need of your wisdom to show us how to pray and to use the authority you've given us. And God, we thank you for all you're going to do in your precious and holy name.